Al, welcome in. How are you, man?
Doing good, Tom. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. Of course, it's been a sad day. The passing of Pat Summitt, who always thought like a pro and acted like a pro, that's for sure. And then Buddy Ryan, we got word. Buddy was sick and with cancer. Buddy passing at age 82. And I think it was just that one year that he was your coach, right? 1993, when he was the defensive coordinator at Houston. But, man, that had to be one heck of an experience, right?
Yeah, he was definitely our coordinator that year. Was a great coordinator, great coach. It was a crazy year. Had a lot of ups and downs, but Buddy was a guy that really put his input on the league, put his input on football, and definitely put his input on defense.
The other thing about Buddy is it seems to be, Al, that he has gotten a reputation over the years of being a player's coach, whatever that means, but a player's coach, much more so than Mike Ditka, who actually was a player. Buddy, like his sons, never played, yet he was a player's coach, right? I mean, was he a guy that you felt that way, that this was a guy that you felt communicated well with the players?
Well, I felt he did. He had his own style. He had his own way of doing it. Buddy was really tough. He was tough on you. He was really, really tough on the Mike linebackers, the position I played. Singletary played in Philadelphia. It was Byron Evans. That position in the strong safety were two positions that he was really strong on, hard on those type of guys. But he was tough on everybody. He gave everybody the opportunity. He understood guys' talent, and once he understood your talent, he was there to put you in a position to be successful. You know, we had guys who weren't the smartest guys or the sharpest guys, but he would give them opportunity to do things and change things to still highlight their abilities to maximize their potential, and which in turn helped the defense as a whole.
So which guy were you? Were you not the smartest or not the sharpest? I'm not sure, because I think you're pretty slick. I mean, you wrote a book, for God's sake. I mean, come on.
I had to be the smartest, because I had to make all the calls, and I had to bail him out if he didn't make a good call. So he put all the pressure on me.
That's good stuff. All right, and you talk about the defense. I want to get into the incident, the Kevin Kilbride incident, and just exactly where you were on the sideline when that happened. But before we get there, you talk about the defense. He had developed the 46 defense, which was not a 4-6 defense. It was actually named for Doug Plank, who wore number 46. But he had developed that with the Chicago Bears in the mid-80s. It's kind of a modified gap 8 defense with a safety, a strong safety down over the tight end. And just talk about that. Did you guys run that scheme, or did he change the scheme for your personnel?
Well, we ran the defense. I mean, his scheme, but he tweaked it depending on the guys we had. You know, sometimes the safety, like you said, would be down on the line, or sometimes the safeties, like strong safeties, had to be like linebackers. Like, a lot of times the strong safeties were next to me in the box, so to speak, you know, especially, and that's why, you know, we're tough against the run, but at the same time, we put a lot of pressure on corners. You had to know man-to-man. The linebackers had to be man-to-man. It's not like it is now. You just play zone, and a lot of the linebackers and a lot of these guys, you know, just dropping coverage and don't have to cover anybody. Back then, he would put pressure on the whole defense. You know, the corners would lock up. The linebackers would have to lock up on, you know, I was on great tight ends like Novacek, Brent Jones, you know, athletic-type tight ends back then, to where you have to be down the field one-on-one with those guys and have a safety deep, but at the same time, he put pressure on his guys to perform, and they did.
Well, that was the key, I think, right? Because you guys would play – one of the reasons you guys could play so much man behind it was because you got pressure with the front, man-to-man. I mean, he had those great guys, of course, Richard Dent and Mongo McMichael and those guys, of course, in Chicago. But even there with Houston, the one year he was there with Houston, I mean, that was key, right? Because, I mean, you can't run around for 4.5 seconds covering a guy man-to-man. You had to have that pressure up front.
And that's one thing, you know, put pressure on the defensive line, but the defensive line, we have pass rushers, we have pass rushing mentality type guys who wanted to get after the quarterback, and we can always blitz. You know, we always, you know, bring, we had blitzing type linebackers, our safeties were athletic, our linebackers were athletic. I mean, we have so many different guys that could do so many different things, that we have so many different packages. Everyone could excel and put pressures on the offense, because they never knew which way a blitz was coming. They didn't know you know, they were always on their heels. We made the offense play defense because of the way we play.
Former Houston Oiler, All-Pro linebacker Al Smith, our guest, played for Buddy Ryan in 1993. And you know, Buddy goes from there. He gets the head coaching job for the Cardinals in 94 and 95. Did you get the sense when he was with you guys that he was a short-timer and that he had head coach meat? Because, you know, a lot of people, you know, he had had that run, of course, with the Eagles, but a lot of people didn't think that he would ever get another chance as a head coach.
Well, his whole purpose, I mean, he always wanted to be a head coach. He always thought of himself as a head coach, and he conducted himself like that. Even in our situation, Jack Pardee being the head coach, you know, Buddy would dictate and do things, you know, at practice or in the facility, which he would do things like a head coach would do, which was unfortunate, which was tough for Jack, but that's the type of personality he had. He was a leader's mentality. He's an ex-military guy. And, you know, when he saw the way he wanted to do things, he would do it.
Yeah, I mean, that does make it tough. Obviously, he had that reputation of doing that with Ditka. I mean, you know, he's the only coordinator to ever get carried off the field after a, you know, after a Super Bowl win. So he always kind of had that. And that could be tough in the room. I mean, it's divisive in the room. And nothing was more divisive than that day in 1993 when he hauled off and cracked Kevin Gilbride, who was your offensive coordinator. Tell me about that moment. Exactly where were you when that all was going down?
Well, actually, I was probably about two body lengths away from Kevin, and then I just kind of saw Buddy kind of jump in his arm, kind of went over, because, you know, Kevin was taller, so Buddy had to go up, and he was punched up, and one of the receivers, Curtis Duncan, kind of got in the middle of him and tried to pull him away, because I kind of felt like if Kevin would have got a couple shots in, you know, it could have got ugly. But at the same time, it was right there, you know, saw it. You know, I could see it brewing with Buddy during the course of the game, because he didn't like having the defense to go back on the field and take a chance on guys getting hurt, because I think we got one of our starters hurt because we didn't get off the field on an earlier situation. And here we are at the end of the half, instead of just getting off the field and going in for halftime. The defense had to go back out and play defense again when they thought they would be going into the locker room.
How did the team react to that? I mean, was that just, oh, that's just Buddy being Buddy? Or did the guys all, I mean, you got the defensive guys, the offensive guys, were guys getting ready to kind of square off as to, you know, defending your coach? Or was it just all that, no, crazy old man?
No, it was just those two. I mean, the players never went against each other. The players never got caught up in going against each other, even at practice. You know, we had, you know, spirited battles or what have you, but offense versus defense, as far as players go, you know, we know we were a team, you know, we still helped our teammates and things like that. But between those two, you know, there was a little extra something there. And Buddy voiced his opinion about the offense and how it helped or hurt us in certain situations.
Good stuff. And Buddy Ryan, of course, passing away at the age of 82. Now, his sons, the twins, Rex and Rob, of course, now working together with the Buffalo Bills. Do you have any recollection of them back in 93 bumping around? Let's see. I don't know. They would have been young men, I guess, by then. But were they around the Oilers much back when Buddy was there as a DC?
No, I didn't see them a whole lot back then, because they had their own jobs. And Buddy was there 1 year. And then when he went to Arizona, I think he brought them over there right after that. And Buddy was, you know, he tried to recruit me to Arizona at that time, because I think I was a free agent, but I re-signed with Houston. But at the same time, you know, he was grooming those guys in early years. And, you know, you see the same thing in Rex, that is, you know, just like his dad. You know, last time he was here, when Buffalo played the Titans this last game, you know, we were talking about his dad and all those type of things like that. They would go sick or what have you. And it's very important to lose him. But, you know, Buddy, you know, I'm sure he was a fighter to the end. He was that type of guy. And we're sorry to lose, you know, a great coaching coordinator.
A great coordinator, a great X's and O's guy, a guy who fathered a defense. Anytime you have something like that, the 46 defense that everybody knows was the design of Buddy Ryan, his boys kind of coach like him. I don't think that Rob's ever going to be a head coach. I think he views himself like Buddy, though, as a head guy. And you know, I think Rex you know, would love to have some success to be able to make his dad proud, you know, in terms of, you know, winning the big prize. I think Buddy ended up 55 and 55, I think, in his career. He was a 500 coach as a head coach, but was an outstanding coordinator, that's for sure. All right, your book is out, of course, Think Like a Pro, Act Like a Pro. Before I let you go, tell people how they can get their hands on it, because I know it's been doing well.
Yeah, you can go on to Amazon.com or AlSmithAllPro.com. That's AlSmithAllPro.com or Amazon.com. And, you know, pick up your copy. It's a great read, an easy read, but at the same time, it's personal development to give you all the tools, not just for sports, but business, life, and in your home. It's a great book, and I hope you can go out and get in and be touched by it.
I'm still waiting for my copy, so I don't know. Am I in the book? I mean, I was thinking that maybe I probably made it in the book, in the dedication, or maybe to use me as an example of somebody how to think like a pro and act like a pro, like your good friend Tom Abraham. I don't know, maybe.
You're still a work in progress, Tom.
I need the book. So what you're saying is I need the book, Think Like a Pro, Act Like a Pro. And maybe I get into second edition. Maybe it'll be like I get a mention in the second edition or something like that.
You're definitely in that edition. You're definitely in there.
All right. When you sign the copy to me, just make sure you spell my name right, okay? I mean, just get that part right. I'll be happy. So.
We got that for sure. That's a no-brainer.
All right, man. Appreciate you so much. Al Smith has been our guest, and Al, we'll talk again, man.
Thank you, Tom. You guys take care.
All right.